Hey, what's up, After Buzzers? Welcome to another after show for TNT's Animal Kingdom. Tonight, we are talking season one, episode three, titled Stay Close, Stick Together. Coming up right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. We almost went on the
show there. Yes, that is right. Almost wound up in Mexico. Hey, what's up, guys? I'm your host, Alina Vision. You can follow me on all social media at Alina Vision, and that's Vision with two S's. And I am, of course, joined by my awesome panel and co-host. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Hey, guys, what's up? Leslie Ambrose here. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at In Less Than No Time.
What's up, guys? I'm Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. I can't wait to talk about this episode. The show is really getting me. It's really, really grabbing me. And I just, we have the press link, you know, so we can watch the episodes a little ahead of time. Mm-hmm. But like, I have a hard time resisting, but I don't want to because I want it all to be fresh right when we step in here. But, you know, I'll admit I watched the first few minutes of this one on my own, and I was like, I gotta stop.
You did.
Gotta wait to watch with you guys.
And just so you guys know, we have Ben in the chat room, so feel free to chat it up with us. We'll be doing that all episode long. And actually, I have a little special announcement. We had Daniela Alonso in the AfterBuzz studios today for a special spotlight on with AfterBuzz's own Yael Teagle. And you guys actually submitted some questions to her, and you were able to watch the interview back. Yeah. So why don't you tell our viewers exactly how she answered?
I mean, she pretty much, thank you, Yael, because she covered basically all of our questions that were all character-related. The one that I asked, or two of them, was one, will we see Catherine involved in any crimes? Daniela's good. She's good with the little PR questions. And she was kind of like, oh, like, I don't know. She has a daughter now, so she's looking out for her. But, like, maybe. So, I mean, hopefully we'll see. Yeah, the maybes always are kind of yeses. Then you think they're trying to throw you off. So, I don't know with that one. She also said she'd be using possibly weapons since she's had experience from a past show that she did.
Yeah, she cleared up some stuff as well about stuff that they covered in the episode tonight. She was very strategic with her answers because a lot of the information that seemed like inside info we actually got in the episode. But it's stuff, you know, when she's like, when you were a pimply faced kid, so she admitted that she's known and been best friends with Pope since she was 12, that Catherine hates her, they've never gotten along. So little stuff like that. One of the questions that I had asked Yael to ask was, does she regret being in a life like a crime family? And her answer to that was that she wanted to be a part of a family, and this is just a version. This is just a family she became a part of. So she got what she wanted, and she kind of knows what she's in for. It doesn't really seem that way necessarily that she's happy about it, but you know, she lives, I think, a pretty comfy life. So that's just what it is.
Well, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you guys can definitely check out that interview. It's up on AfterBuzz's YouTube page. It's Spotlight On. So check that out. But right now we're going to hop into this episode. So let's start off talking about Pope. Because he definitely had a huge, just everything tonight.
Definitely. Uh-huh.
And so let's start up at the top when he first scene opens on him. And we meet another character.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's trying to get him to do some work with him, and Pope just kind of has his own thing going. So what'd you guys think about that?
I mean, I would have loved to know the guy's name.
Right.
Which we didn't get at all. I was kind of thinking, is this maybe his dad? And these are just all the kind of men that Smurf has slept with that we're kind of secretly meeting, but they're anonymous because we're not supposed to really pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
But the part that really got me was when he started talking about Catherine and Lena with Pope.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. It was just too, it was too casual.
It was creepy.
For someone that's not, that's supposedly not his kid, it was just too like, hey, you know, how are they doing? Or I'm good with kids. Like, somewhat of a threat, somewhat of a hint for the audience.
Yeah. Right. So do you think it was like maybe a seed for something coming up later as to who this character is?
Well, I think two things. I think a little bit there. I believe that's Michael Bowen, most famous, I think, for playing Uncle Jack in Breaking Bad. I believe so. That's where he comes to mind for me.
Right.
But he wasn't listed on the IMDb as far as who his character was in this episode, so I agreed. I didn't know his name. But I do think there was a little bit of, was the reason that Pope pulled this job, because that's the job he told him about.
Right.
So did he pull that job because he felt threatened? You're not really sure. I don't know. I don't really know. But I definitely think definitely think that that's a character that we're going to see again. It seems like there's kind of a theme here of all the brothers kind of taking on action for themselves, which inevitably will result in a fatality for one of them eventually.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too.
Someone's got to go. Yeah. I hate it because I love them all, but someone's got to go.
I know, but they all just kind of get a little sloppy. We see that again tonight with the jobs. I mean, it's just kind of their character traits. Mm-hmm. Definitely. But, yeah, I mean, what do you think about Lena actually being Pope's baby?
I would not be surprised at all. I could see it coming. It's more of a I'm expecting it rather than, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening. Plus, it's just Pope has too much where he's just there too often to not be her father.
Pope's, like, definitely mastered the art of creepily showing up, like, behind it.
All the time. My goodness.
Yeah, there was the shot where she's getting in the car and the camera's moving, and I literally just was, like pointed right as soon as the camera turned. You know Pope's standing there. Like, you know that, like, that's just, like, a TV thing, but, like, he's just, like, so good at just creepily standing in doorways.
Think he learned that in prison?
Like, way too close, though, to where you're, like, running into him?
Yeah. No kidding. Oh, he definitely has the creepiness, and that comes in at the end of the episode, which we will definitely get to, because so creepy. All of our jaws pretty much hit the floor with that scene.
We were all
I was cringing. so bad. Like, wait, what's going to happen right now? I'm glad it didn't go where I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about it since we're there.
But subtlety, right? Because, like, it's the whole thing where it's like, okay, you know, they'll be like, you know, okay, this is a good example, right? They'll be like, a magazine with people looking sexy in clothes is going to always be sexier than just, like, straight nudity. It's kind of the same thing. This is, like, suggestive, but it's, like, didn't quite go there. But it's, like, had it gone there, it would have been, like, really uncomfortable. In this case, you have to just wonder what happened, and you're just like, oh, God. This is so bad.
Maybe they'll open up, like, next episode with...
All of us are just like, oh, cringing. Your skin is crawling.
Like, that's just this entire show, though, in general.
I mean, they took it there. Uh-huh. They are definitely pushing the envelope and taking it there.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I mean, even last week we were saying that the relationship between Smurf and her sons is kind of incestuous, and it's really going there even more so now. And I just want to know, like, How far does this go?
She kissed Jay on the lips at the end.
She did.
Again, all the
just
time.
Just a casual thing. Asked him about his sex life. Like, no big, you know? Because she talked to grandma all the time.
She kissed Craig on the lips, too. And I'm like, this is the guy you saw naked in your, you know.
Did she kiss him when he was naked? I think she did. In the first episode?
She might have.
I honestly wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
I just can't remember.
It's pretty crazy. So, talking about Smurf and Pope, she actually goes and tells Pope that, you know, Jay is very impressionable right now. He's kind of leaning towards Baz, but you can get him on your side.
So manipulative.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I really like the relationship that they're starting to build between Pope and Jay. It's funny. Pope is, like, the most screwed up in some ways, but he's also, like, maybe in some ways the most likable of all the characters, because aside from his creepiness, he hasn't actually done much that you've been like, you're a bad dude.
Yeah.
It's more like, he just, like, has issues, but they all have issues. And I sort of like the idea of, like, Jay, who's, like, young and impressionable, kind of teaming up with him. Like, the moment when they, you know, Jay, like, came through for him, and later he was like, thanks for today.
Right.
I was kind of like, this is awesome. You know what I mean? I had a little bit of that.
You had a bro moment?
A little bit, yeah. Kind of like that. What do you guys think about that?
I honestly, I could see that now, but watching it, I didn't get that vibe at all. I thought he was just using Jay, and this is just kind of buttering him up.
Right.
For, like, okay, now Jay's going to trust me, and then he's just going to drop him. Yeah. At any moment.
Could be. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him, but there is that part of me that has hope that, like, maybe it's an alliance.
That would be nice,
I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of sussing the whole situation out, because a part of me really does want Jay to kind of link on to Baz instead of Pope. But I do like what you said, that Pope really hasn't done anything specifically bad. He's just kind of creepy and has his own little character quirks.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of felt like he was using him just to see, you know, how far he would go and to kind of make him, like, his pawn in this whole scheme.
Because he totally wants his girlfriend, too. Can we talk about that stare-down moment?
Let's talk about that. And I kind of think she wants him, too, a little bit.
Oh, yeah. She wants all of them. She can't decide.
Yeah.
She's getting seduced by the money and the bad boyness, which it happens.
She totally has that, like, looking at Jay and looking at them being like, Jay, full-grown man. Jay, like, you know what I mean?
Full-grown man
of
the car.
This is how I'm getting into the family, and this is what I'm doing once I get in.
So, jumping on her for just a quick second, we have a scene that happens between Jay and her dad. There's some, like kind of a cop undertone in this episode a little bit. We start to get like just the cops showing up, and we see these familiar relationships with police figures throughout. You know, there's the guy that Baz runs into last episode, and then there's the two cop figures in this episode. But I thought it was interesting what Smurf says to Jay when she talks about Nikki, and she says, "Is she giving you what you want?" And he says, "I think so."
Right.
And then she's like, "Some girls need to be told what to do." And then she says, "Can't tell you how many times my boys have gotten laid because a girl's trying to piss off her daddy." Now, she knows who Nikki's dad is. She'd be too dumb not to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a dig a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think there's like a kind of like an – I don't know exactly what she was trying to do with that comment, but that was what I sort of started to think about. Like I think Nikki's dad as a character, unfortunately, I'll save for predictions, but I think I know what's going to happen to him. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I definitely think that that's like a very relevant relationship is the Nikki's dad relationship.
Right. I definitely think Smurf was using it as a dig. For some reason, yeah. I think she wants to kind of drive a wedge between Nikki and Jay.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, between the questions, just the awkward questions she asks both of them that a normal grandmother probably wouldn't. And, you know, she did ask, which other son of mine would you...
Yeah.
Would you like to be with?
So let me just to clarify for a second. Mm-hmm. So she's Jay's grandmother?
Yes.
So Jay's Smurf mom was Smurf's daughter?
Yeah. Yes.
100%?
Yeah. Smurf's mom was twins with Pope.
Okay. Smurf's mom.
Not Smurf's mom. Jay's mom.
Jay's mom is twins with Pope. And I think those are Smurf's actual kids. And then, like we said, the last week,
which
the
is
other
why it's possible
just
that
kind
Baz...
of came in.
Baz isn't her actual kid.
But this is why it's
but
possible
the other
that
two
Baz
have
could be
dads.
Jay's dad without it being super weird.
Mm-hmm. Without it being even more incestuous
said,
of a show.
She said something like, "Your mom always had guys around. I even tried to make one of them her brother."
Yeah.
Right. So
I feel like
that's...
It's weird.
Yeah,
it's really weird. Like, you don't get the sense that that Smurf like misses her daughter or is sad she's gone at all. Which is why I just asked that question because like I think I knew that was the relationship, but also to this point when I'm thinking about it, I just like it doesn't feel like that was the relationship. You know,
right?
In no way does it feel like this was like she just never makes reference that she's even sad she's gone.
Right? Like I want to know what happened to make the relationship that toxic that your mother.
Yeah.
Doesn't care that you're gone.
Just steals
Certainly
your
seems
t-shirt.
That way.
Exactly.
About it.
Steals your
but
t-shirt.
I honestly
yeah.
think even going to a quote that Catherine said in the show was, "Once she grows a pair of tits, like she'll turn on you." Talking about Lena.
Oh, that's right.
I think Smurf just hates other women in
Definitely.
General.
Yeah,
and well, that's probably what
she can't
drove
control
her
them.
Away from her daughter.
That's something that Daniela said today when she was talking to Yael. She definitely said they were fine when they were kids, but it's when she became a woman she started to hate her. Mm. So that's like definitely clearly a trend, which makes sense. It's the sort of powerful matriarchal woman, which also would make sense why Smurf kind of even – I think we all assume she's supposed to be playing like somewhere in her 50s, but she's like in great shape. Looks like she's had a boob job, has like impeccably done hair,
right?
Still like
great fashion
for a 62-year-old woman in real life. She's like really hot, and like, and I think that there's this element of like needing to still like be attractive and like control
men
that clearly comes into play with the relationship to women.
Absolutely,
oh yeah,
definitely. All right, so now that we're talking about Smurf, let's talk about the relationship actually between Smurf and Catherine.
Yeah,
In this episode, we see Smurf just completely take control of Lena.
Right.
Doing things that Catherine does not like. Mm-hmm. And did you guys think it was right for Smurf to take Lena out of the store? I'd be freaking out just like Catherine was.
No. I mean, a little bit of yes and no, or like if the girl's walking by herself and I saw like somebody that I knew by themselves, I'd been like, "Hey, Crystal, here she is." But in terms of taking her full on out of the store, that's
without
just,
even like calling Catherine,
that's just
to
like
tell
psycho
her.
Grandma.
Yeah.
Well, it's clearly a move. She's
right.
She's doing it intentionally. I mean, here's the thing. Looking at Catherine's position, what side do you fall on, right? Because on the one hand, this is the question that she was asked today when she said she doesn't regret being in the family. It's like, okay, so on the one hand, this is the life you're in, and your guy is, you know, you that you think you have a daughter with, or maybe he thinks you have a daughter with. he's a criminal, and mm-hmm. the family, it's a crime family, and that's where all of your income for the most part has come from and everything like that, right?
Right.
So mm-hmm. you have to just accept what comes along with it, because Smurf has the line where, you know, this time she didn't just seem, what was the line I wrote down? She's never been smart enough to see the big picture. This time she seemed ungrateful.
Right.
On the other hand, it's like, okay, maybe you should stop being so resistant to Smurf taking care of your kid, even though you know it probably, like, leads your kid in the wrong direction. If you're going to pull the kid away and be like, stay away from my kid, you're not my family, mm-hmm. then you think you just need to get out of the family in general.
Right.
And she's trapped.
Yeah. But do you think she really can get out of the family? Because if that is Pope's daughter, technically, she really can't.
I think she can try.
She can try.
And she probably won't get too far.
I feel like Smurf feels like, that is my grandchild, so I can take my grandchild, you know? Mm-hmm. Rather than if it was just Baz's, who's not
yeah.
her son, it's a little different.
I don't think there's any way.
She knows.
I think she does.
Okay.
I don't think there's any way for anybody to get out of the family, really. Right. I'm just saying, like, you see where she falls on it, and it's like, what side would you fall on if you were Catherine? Would you say, you know what, I need to just, like, go with the flow on this because I'm not getting out of this anyway, and at least I can stop creating problems? Or if I'm going to create problems, that I need to mastermind my way to get out. But she does have her safety word. We saw.
Oh, yeah.
We shot
and
Sarah said to Lena.
Snowflake.
Snowflake. Mm-hmm. So there is a contingency plan. Maybe there is, she's looking to leave, and maybe that's why she's so resistant. You know?
That could be it.
Maybe that's going to happen this season.
Saving up her money, getting ready to go.
Snowflake and the creepy doll. We still don't know what's going on with that, but I'm sure eventually.
I'm still convinced there's like a camera in that doll or something.
Maybe, could be. So let's move on to Baz. Baz has another girl in Mexico, Lucy. Yeah.
He likes his Latina woman.
Yes, he
definitely.
Does. I was going to say, he has a type. He definitely has a type.
They're all very attractive.
They are.
They are. Yeah. They really
very
are.
Pretty
and
girls.
They kind of, not all Latinas don't look the same, but these two look very similar. So.
Yeah. I know, because I even asked you guys, I was like, wait, is that?
Right.
I thought, I was like, oh, they finally got, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, they finally have chemistry. Great. Nope, some other chick.
Oh, it's this other chick. And I'm still trying to figure out exactly what the relationship is between them, because they seem very close. He knows the brother, Marco.
You're talking about Lucy and
Lucy.
Marco.
Yeah. Yes. And there's a kid there, so.
I honestly think Lucy is though, like, his true love, the one that he would be with if he didn't have Lena.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Seems
that way. It does. Because we see him show a lot more affection with her.
Oh, yeah.
Than with Catherine.
He doesn't even touch Catherine. Like, even when they interact
or
talk. That's
so true, yeah.
It is weird, yeah. That relationship is very sterile. And, yeah, with Lucy, he seems like he's much happier there. But, like, Pope also, like, knew about it and brought it up, right?
Yeah,
did you see Lucy while you were there? And he's like, no. So it's clearly
there are really no secrets.
Uh-uh. Yeah, exactly. Even Craig, when he was there, was like, "I think I know we've been."
Yeah.
No. So let's talk about Baz and possibly Jay.
Okay.
Possibly being his father.
You have that moment at the end there where they're talking, and Baz is saying that, you know, don't worry about it. Your mom did that to everybody. As far as him shooting her up when she died, I didn't feel like. I don't think that's true. I think that's probably maybe that's like convenient information that could be a hunch that Smurf decided to use to rope Jay in.
Okay.
That's
right.
What it felt like to me. It felt manipulative. But on the other hand, it just that's one of those reveals that like they dropped it really early.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the third episode or the third episode.
Yeah.
Like if that's really going to be the relationship and Jay's going to know that and that's going to be a thing, like I feel like that would have come out way later because that's such a big bomb to drop.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Especially with Jay like on the phone with the guy that he thinks is his dad. It's been a mystery this whole time. And also like really you don't think that in the entire time that your mom was alive, she would have been like, I definitely know your dad. He's actually kind of a good dude. Like, he's part of this family, but, like, I'm a junkie, so it's not exactly like I'm a saint, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If she knew who his dad was, like, you think she would have maybe told him at some point.
And I kind of feel like if Baz really was his dad, he'd be acting a little bit differently with him.
Do you think Baz knows?
Oh.
Knows who his dad is or
knows
that
he's Jay's dad?
If he potentially is, do you think?
Possibly doesn't, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It is possible because Smurf said she had a lot of men around, so.
I feel like it would have been one of those, like, his mom got pregnant and then just, like, bounced and ran for the
hills. But then how would Smurf know? This is why I think
that Smurf knows everything, regardless if you tell her or not.
Yeah, it's true. That's why I think it's a move on her part. I just think it's a manipulative move. Personally, what do you guys think?
I mean, after hearing you say that, because at first I was like, oh, it's definitely
his
dad, like they told us. I mean, mean, with so many episodes left and it being such an intense show, it definitely is, I think, too early where...
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe Baz knows who Jay's dad is or knows, like, a clue towards it, but I would... Now, hearing you say that, I don't know if I agree with...
Well, because
that full prediction.
Because Smurf is doing something that's very, very obvious, right? So she's essentially putting like information in each kid's ear.
Oh yeah,
and it's right. She's not trying to drive any one of them. Like she's not really trying to drive an alliance with anybody. She's essentially trying to get everybody to be out for themselves, and all to be under her thumb.
Yeah.
She doesn't want anybody to really think for themselves. She wants Jay to think that maybe Baz is his dad. She wants, you know, she wants Pope to think that maybe Jay is susceptible. She wants, you know, Baz wants Jay to think that he's out for him. Like,
right.
It's kind of, you know, she wants Darren to think that, you know, she's not on his side, but maybe it's Jay's fault. Like, she's taking Jay's side. Like, mm-hmm. She definitely likes to kind of...
She plays the board.
Yeah, plays everybody.
Craig's the only one that hasn't really been played yet.
He's just high.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, he's fine. I don't have to worry about him. As long as I have drugs in the house, he's here.
No kidding. I can't believe he was coming back from Mexico with drugs, still on, you know, I'm sure medication for what he just
in
went
the burrito.
Through. In the burrito.
So was it? He said a key. Was it cocaine or was it heroin?
I don't know drug terms. I thought probably it was cocaine because when he came out of the house that he sold it from, he was pretty.
Up,
yeah,
right?
He was an up.
That's
he was
what an possibly.
I think that's his number one go to.
I think so too.
Snorting something.
Yeah, I'm very like if there's no such thing as a key of heroin. Well, forgive me for not knowing.
You guys know. Drop it in the comments. I won't judge you. I just want
to
know what the heck he was talking about.
I think it was cocaine.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I think it was.
And he sold it to Ren. Played by the beautiful Christina Ochoa, who's going to be in here with us next week.
Yes, right.
By the way,
that
for the fans.
Is right.
Guys,
we'll sit her right here for you.
She's,
I'll sit over here with Alina next week.
She's a very talented actress, and we will be asking her all kinds of questions just about her acting. So, you know,
she just
happens to be in Sexy, and so we'll be asking her about that. Anyway.
So what was it? I'm just kidding.
Right. Uh-huh. So he did, he sold it to her. So let's talk about Darren.
The black sheep.
Right.
So, I guess Pope's kind of the black sheep, but like Darren like feels he's like more the black sheep.
Black sheep.
Darren makes himself the black sheep.
Right.
He holds his pity parties.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's super emo.
Is that how the emos look down in, what is it, where do they live?
Oceanside? Oceanside.
They don't wear all black.
No.
They're total surfers. They just
like
kind of
tatted.
Move around.
He should have one, like, black streak in his hair.
Right here.
And he should wear it over his eye a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Perfect.
Then we know. But we find out who he beat up in the bathroom.
Spencer Tweed Clark.
Yeah.
Who is the son in Gladiator, who my mind was blown when I met at the premiere. Because he's the kid in Gladiator. Like, that movie won Best Picture. Like, come on. He's like a speaking part in the movie that won Best Picture when I was a kid. So that blew my mind. But anyway, in this show, he is not the kid from Gladiator.
No.
Nope.
He makes surfboards. They pay him. He pays rent. It's some sort of like, it's just like another arm in like the dishonest like empire that Smurf runs.
Right.
So I guess that's who was in the bathroom. And then he beat the crap out of him. And now... I don't know. So he used the money. Darren used the money to pay him. Is that the deal?
I guess because his hospital bill was $4,000, and now he's saying that Darren owes him $2,500. So I'm guessing the rent was
a little more.
Yeah.
But so the money that Darren gave to Smurf, I'm assuming, is the money from the robbery.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
He said he wasn't giving him anything for beating him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean,
which is understandable.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
You think a guy's your lover and then he beats you up because it's like nephew/brother/whatever he could be happens to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got some good Darren information this episode.
Pope
revealed, I knew your dad, you know, I delivered you from my mom in the gas station bathroom.
And
you
slid
on the
out.
Floor.
It seemed like that was the first time he was hearing it too.
Just by
the really awkward faces on everyone's really awkward.
Yeah,
face.
or maybe he had heard it in like a different way at one point. But yeah, it definitely seemed uncomfortable.
It seemed awkward all the way around.
I think Craig's face was just like, ooh.
Like,
that was what, he's such the comedic like relief in this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No kidding. But it was good to see Darren, and just to see who it was. I'm glad that they put who it was in some sort of relation. Now, here is my question that keeps going through my mind the entire time I'm watching this. I'm like, what do they say on their taxes? Because it's not like they have a front of a business, you know, but they have all this cash coming in and out. Clearly, I mean, they've got to pay taxes on stuff, property. I mean,
I think probably.
How is this going down? I want to know.
I mean, I think my guess would be that it's all cash, and right. Smurf probably has some like amount of money that she got at one point from like selling a property that maybe, you know what I mean? Something like that looks like it's legitimate, and then all the rest of the cash they have is just straight cash, and it's her son's, right. So she has every right to just support her son's, and they probably don't report any income because right. like their mom just pays for everything. That's my guess.
Right.
Maybe, yeah.
It could be.
I honestly don't know.
Just inquiring minds uh-huh. want to know.
Maybe we'll find out.
Like, I was driving uh-huh. the other day thinking about this.
Yeah, right.
Just really invested.
I was. What? How did they do this? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the actual robbery that they did.
Right.
And what went down in there, because we saw Jay really take, not take the fall, but do what he was supposed to do, kind of, for Pope, and really came in for Pope when Darren was like, let's just go.
So definitely, because he's like, I'm not going to cut the wire. It's like, that could be, like, the smarter move is don't cut the wire. And Pope's like, I know Darren's not going to do it because he's smarter, but I can pressure Jay into doing it.
Yeah.
And he'll do it, and we can do it. And if it goes wrong, I can blame him. You know, that could have been actually how it went down.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know. But it was good to see, you know, Jay come through. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he had no choice, but...
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because if they get caught, he goes to jail, too.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. It was... for me, it just seemed... The whole thing kind of seemed sloppy. They went in there without any masks.
Sloppy. Right.
Without a real legit plan. I mean, the guy was coming back right then.
Mm-hmm.
It could have gone south really, really quickly.
Oh, yeah. All they had was those little signs, and that was it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. I just feel like that's going to be their demise very, very... very soon.
Well, so there's like there's smart stuff and there's dumb stuff, but mm-hmm. then there's also stuff where I feel like I should know who's smart and who's dumb. And like at the end of the episode when Jay got the watch back and then gave the watch to a cop and was like, give this to your daughter, like I was like, are you doing something intentionally here? Because like this is a cop
right.
and there was a robbery and watches were stolen, and even though you told him it was your mom's only thing, like you're giving a cop something that is piece of right, like
mm-hmm.
that's a criminal watch, so like
that is evidence.
Yeah
Jay feels pretty smart. He feels like he's handled himself pretty well,
right?
So moments like that to me are always a little bit of head scratchers, because from a writing standpoint I'm just like, I don't get it. You guys have talked up Jay to be this like whiz kid student who's like super sensible.
Mm-hmm.
He seems impressionable, but that in no way seems like the kind of move he would do, like to the point
right.
that he understands how valuable that watch is and like how bad it is for that watch to be out there that he's willing to steal it back from his girlfriend and lie to her.
Exactly.
But now he's going to give it to her dad, who's a cop. Like, what?
Yeah, that made no sense to
me
either.
Honestly, though, I think that was the plan, since he was planning on bouncing out of Oceanside as soon as possible to find his dad.
Because he bounced kind of right after that.
Maybe this was like an F you to, like, the family. Like, fine, whatever. I'm going to bounce out of here. I'm going to go find my dad, start a new life. I can't deal with this. Hey, let me give this cop the watch and see what happens to you guys.
Right.
Could be.
Uh-huh.
Definitely could be. I didn't think about that, because he did leave, right? Right after he gave the watch.
Yeah, because he was planning on bouncing, but then Smurf is smart and gave everyone a smartphone
to
track them. Yeah.
Oh, Smurf.
Yeah.
Smurf coming in.
She's brilliant. Yeah, that's actually a good point. That
it
could have been his moment to bury the family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now it's going to come back.
It just seemed kind of odd, though, to me that he would do that, because I totally get where you're coming from, Ben.
Yeah.
I wrote that down. I was like, that's a major loose end that I don't think somebody as smart as him would do naturally.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's weird, right? Like, network TV, I talk about this sometimes in the shows I do, because I cover a lot of, like, HBO and AMC shows, but I didn't grow up watching a lot of, like, ABC, NBC. TNT's not really that. TNT's, like, somewhere in the middle. They're getting their programming.
Yeah.
I can definitely up to speed. Like, this is a very high-quality show, but...
Yeah.
Or CW, even like network shows that have sort of like hallmark traditional, I don't want to call it cliche, but it's writing that is very convenient because it needs to be packaged for the audience that network caters to. I always notice when things like that happen where I'm like, this feels as a plot device like I'm being led somewhere, and I don't like to feel as an audience member like I'm being led somewhere.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So something like that, or something like the cop that, you know, was waiting on Catherine at the bar, Patrick Fisher. It's like, you know, he's like, hey, you know, if he ever bothers you again, here's my card. Call me. Don't call 911 because they won't do anything. It's like you're just setting up this, like, tension where I'm like, I don't know. Is it is it really that realistic that it would just be convenient that she'd work at a bar and one of her regulars would be an off-duty cop and he would just never catch on that, like, actually she was into some really bad stuff, but he cares enough to constantly talk to her and be around and, like, doesn't have any idea.
And didn't know who that guy was she was talking to.
Was that the same cop that said hi to Baz in the liquor store last week? Or was that a different guy?
No, I don't think that was the same guy. I think the guy that said... I thought the guy that said hi to Baz in the liquor store last week was a... was a white cop. I was pretty sure.
I think it was. Maybe it wasn't.
But I might just be thinking about the scene in Mission Impossible 3 where Tom Cruise runs into that dude in the store.
Your Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movies. Ben over there. Yeah, but let's talk about that. I mean, the cop does give Catherine the card. And I actually wrote that down as something I think may be of importance, because let's say Baz or somebody else in the family finds that cop card, and she has been acting against the family the way she has lately, that could spell bad news for her.
Yeah, completely agree. Completely agree. So over here, Jordan Bryan in the chat said, surprised to see Pony Boy in this episode. It's from The Outsiders, the main kid, Nikki's dad, which I didn't think so, because I thought, who plays Pony Boy in Outsiders? I haven't seen Outsiders in like a solid 10 years. But I thought I knew the whole cast like super, super well. Also, he says, I thought he was a person in the Army. I'm assuming you're referring to Patrick Fisher, the guy I thought was an off-duty cop. Maybe, was he a guy in the Army?
I think that was the dad that's in the Army, isn't he? He's a lieutenant in the Army.
Her dad? I thought her dad was a cop.
I thought her dad was a cop,
too. He's cop-like. He protects. He's definitely in the Army. And her dad? The other guy.
He was driving some sort of patrol
car. His uniform, when he... like rolled up was very like standard.
But
like,
they make reference in an earlier episode of her dad being a cop.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. It's in like the first episode. I think one of the boys is like, so what's it like your dad being a cop or something like that. I thought that happened. I thought he was referring to this guy Patrick Fisher as maybe he was in the Army.
He's a cop. That's right. He said.
Yeah. So
Patrick is a cop. Because he said, don't call 911.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I thought.
And she referred to the robbery, saying, I hope you catch those guys.
We'll have to dig a little deeper after this.
All right, I think we covered everything. Anything else you guys can think of?
Smurf's possible name that we might have
learned. Janine. Yeah.
Which I don't... You guys heard that right, too.
Yeah, I did.
I was like, am I crazy or is this a thing?
Yeah, Catherine just... called her Janine.
She gets pissed and it's like, Janine, you can't be doing that.
Exactly. It's like when your mom gets mad at you and calls you by your full name.
Right.
Yeah,
she didn't seem to be fazed by it at all.
No, not at all.
She just wanted to make her ribs.
Exactly. Yeah.
She's like, so you're coming, right?
Exactly.
There's like this really funny quality in this show of her just like constantly juxtaposing like something completely domestic and normal against like horrible, horrible stuff. You know, she'll be like, is your teenage girlfriend pleasing you? What can I do for you? I'm making ribs. I hope
here,
you can
eat
be there.
Something. Uh-huh. Giant feast that she makes for every meal.
She's constantly cooking.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
Yeah.
Must I don't know nice. Where she finds the time.
I know, exactly. Between all of her shenanigans she does. I think that's it, though. So do you guys want to get into predictions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay.
No music today.
No predictions.
Oh, there we go.
It's not yet. All right, we're going to start off with you, Ben.
All right, and if you guys want to share your predictions in the live chat over here, Jordan, Brian, if you've got something you want to predict, or if anybody else would like to pipe in or tweet at us, of course, we would love to know your thoughts as well. There were some good theories in the YouTube comments last week.
Yeah,
there
were.
Mm-hmm. I think that Nikki's dad is going to be killed, and I think he's going to be killed by Jay. I think it's going to be like a super, super uncomfortable moment, and Jay is going to have to be the one to do it. I don't think it'll happen like right away, but I have a feeling. Or maybe he won't be killed. Maybe it'll be like a Hank in Breaking Bad situation. Maybe he just gets shot a bunch of times, and we think he's dead. But like, I think I see that coming on the horizon. That feels like a thing.
Wow.
Dang, that was
amazing. Nikki's family is
very deep. Very detailed prediction.
Decimated.
Mine is also, I'm inserting another cop into this. I think that the detective is going to find out what's going on and possibly try to get Catherine to maybe like run away from him and get her out of the situation. And then boys are going to find out what's going on about that, and it's just all going to blow up in their face. Like maybe that's where we see Snowflake come into action.
Right. Possibly. Mm-hmm. I could see that. I could definitely see that happening. I think it's because it seems like every episode, Jay kind of gets in over his head.
A little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit more and a little bit more. And he kind of wants to get out, and then he's constantly being dragged back in. I think we're obviously going to see him try to find his dad again. But I do think he's actually going to get close to Pope. I have this feeling that Pope is going to bring him in under his wing.
Yeah.
In some way, maybe when the medicine kicks in that Smurf is trying to force feed him, maybe he'll, you know, level out and be a little bit more level. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have any too big of predictions. I just love seeing where the show goes because you never really know.
Do you guys think that Smurf? Do you think Smurf and Pope are sleeping together, or do you think it's just they're just trying to be suggestive?
I hope it's just suggestive.
I hope it's just suggestive. Yeah. But there's something there that
is obviously
very
not
normal.
I think they're sleeping together. I think that's a thing. We're
like
just gonna
mama's
get
boy to a whole another level.
Yeah,
because who cuddles that way as a grown?
No, that's weird. It's
just
that's weird. I said earlier, you hit an age, or that's just I'm
you're
sorry.
Not crawling into mommy's bed anymore.
Buy a stuffed animal and cuddle with that. Because no,
it's just
yeah.
I'm interested to see where that goes.
100%. Yeah.
We will see. Oh, all right. God. Well, that does it for this episode. Where can the good people find you on the interwebs?
I'm Ben Bateman. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram.
And Leslie Ambrose, as you already know, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at In Less Than No Time.
And you guys can find me at Alina Vision. That's Vision with two S's on all of social media. Thank you so much for watching. Please leave your comments in the description box or under the description box on our YouTube channel. You can tweet at us and we'll read some of those next week. You guys had great predictions. We love hearing from you guys and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.